You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, #NoFilter. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you, and I want to give a shout out to all of our five locations. And if this happens to be your first time here, we are one church in five different locations. And I want to remind you and tell you again that I love you and I am thankful for each of you. And I'm excited about what God is doing at New Point. And not only at New Point, but through New Point. We're making a difference. We're making a difference for God and for His kingdom. And I thank you for all that you are doing. Well, we're going to continue in this series called #NoFilter. And today, I want to talk about whispers. Whispers. You ever had somebody whisper something to you? Well, I just want to remind us that every single day we have someone whispering something to us. He's whispering objectives. He's whispering options. He's whispering opportunities. And they all go against what God has for you and me. You see, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And this isn't really what he looks like, but this is basically what's going on every moment of every day. You have somebody on your shoulder whispering objections to you about who God is and about what he wants for you. Or he's offering you options or opportunities that will go against God's best for you and me. And yeah, we have this other one over here that's whispering, but most of the time we would probably say that our enemy isn't whispering, that he is shouting. And he's shouting those objections, those options, those opportunities. And what we would call those are temptations. And the fact of the matter is, temptation is all around us. It's all around me. It's all around you. And it might involve what we eat and drink. It might involve what we watch. It might involve what we search for online. It might involve what we strive for at work. It can involve where we look with our eyes. It can involve where we choose to go. It can involve what we say. It can even involve what we allow our hearts to wonder about. You see, temptation is all around you and me, and it whispers to you, and it whispers to me, and it's subtle. And temptation is there at every stage of life, every stage of life. I remember talking to my father, and he passed away when he was 96 years of age, and we would talk about the temptations of life, and I remember him just telling me, Dwight, it never goes away. It never goes away. You never grow out of it. Maybe our hunger and maybe our desires might change through the years, but temptation never changes. It's always there. And it always will be. Somebody has said it like this, that opportunity knocks once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. And that is so true. And for all of us here today, temptation is leaning against the doorbell in your life and in my life. And yet the good news for you and me is that we're not left alone. We're not left alone to be able to confront or to face or to deal with these temptations. You and I have a loving Heavenly Father who's there to help you. He's there to assist you. He's there to empower you. He's there to give you and I direction. And here's what I want us to get today. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you don't have to give in to that whisper that objects against who God is or that's given you options or opportunities to go another way other than God's way. Now, I know that you have heard the saying that the devil made me do it. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, you and I don't have to give in to that whisper. You and I don't have to give in to that temptation. And if you happen to be here today and maybe you're not a Christ follower, maybe you're just investigating this, what I want you to understand is I want to be able to help you to understand why Christians have the ability to say no to things that want to wreck their life and cause them not to reach their full potential. Because today we want to look at the temptation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, not just to die for our sins, though that was a major, major, major item. He also came here to model how to do life and how to experience life to the fullest. And so there's two truths that I want us to get about temptation as we begin to look at the temptation of Jesus. And here's the first one. There is always more at stake than we realize. Whenever you hear that whisper, whenever that temptation comes across, whenever that temptation lights up in your mind, there's always more at stake than we realize. And this is one of the keys in handling temptation, is to understand that, you know what, this temptation brings to me more than what I realize. And you say, well, what is at stake every time you and I hear a whisper from the enemy? Well, one would be our future. Our future. You see, what happens is the enemy wants to whisper things to you and tempt you and I that will wreck our future. And if you're a young person here today, you have an incredible future before you. And Satan wants to come and he wants to whisper things to you. He wants to whisper objectives and opportunities and options to you that'll take you far away from where God wants you to be. And so the stake is always higher than what we realize. And I can forfeit a large part of my future if I give in to that. Here's another thing that's at stake, and that's my family. That's your family. You see, Satan wants to come and he wants to tempt you and he wants to tempt me and he wants to whisper things to you and he wants to whisper things to me that will wreak havoc in your family. You see, God is the creator. God is the one who gave birth to family. That's how he wants you and I to live. And so there's more at stake than what I realize when temptation comes knocking on my door or he comes whispering things in my ear. And then ultimately, my faith. My faith is at stake. I mean, how many of us here today have watched people who've named the name of Christ give in to temptation? And we scratch our head and we say, is that what a Christ follower is like? Is that how they handle this? Is that what they do? And so what we have to understand as we look at this today, that the enemy wants to come and he's going to whisper things to you. He's going to whisper things to me. He whispers them to me all the time. And I have to come back and I have to remind myself repeatedly over and over and over again because I'm tempted every single day in multiple different ways. Dwight, you got to realize what's at stake here. This isn't something small. This is something huge that can alter your future. That can alter your family. That can alter your faith. And it's one of the ways in which I handle temptation is I realize that the stakes are high. They're high for me. And they're high for you. And if we're going to be able to handle this correctly, and we're going to see that Jesus understood this as well. He understood that the stakes were high, that the future and the family and our faith was high. And so we have to understand that as well. Here's the second truth about temptation. It's about our confidence in God more than anything. When it comes to temptation in your life and it comes to temptation in my life, it's more about our confidence in God than it is willpower or even self-control. It comes back to the fact, do I have confidence in God that He will lead me? You see, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the tempter came and was able to shake their confidence in God. Did God really say? The reason why God doesn't want you to experiment with this or to have this or to enjoy this is because the day that you do, you will become like God. What was he doing there? He was chipping away at their confidence in God. He was trying to get them to doubt God's goodness and God's love. Of saying, you know what? God's holding out on you. And whenever you and I think that God is holding out on us and he's not giving us what we want, then what happens is we end up losing our confidence in God. And then what we end up doing is we end up taking matters into our own hands. And so here's what I want us to get. Your ability and my ability to deal with temptation comes back to the realization that there's more at stake than what we understand and what we know. You see, I believe this. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It will hold you longer than you want to be held. And it will take you further than what you want to go. And we don't usually think that in the moment of temptation. Because we don't realize what's at stake. And the ability to handle temptation is the ability to be able to have confidence in God. You see, there's always a relationship between Dwight's confidence in God and the temptation that he is battling or dealing with. Do I have confidence in God? And so I just want you to know there's hope for you and there's hope for me. The writer Paul, the apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Corinth, and here's what he talks about these whispers, these temptations that all of us here deal with. Here's what he says. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That means this. You know what? I don't battle any temptations that you don't battle. We all battle the same temptations. We're a whole lot alike. Do you know that? We may not look alike, but the fact of the matter is our nature is a whole lot alike. And so he says, no temptation has taken you or overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Here's the good news. And God is faithful. We can be confident of that. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He goes on to say this. But when you are tempted, when he whispers to you, those objections, those options, those opportunities. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Wow. So that you can endure it. He's going to give you and I a way. And we need to be confident of that. There's a book out in the business field by a man named Patrick Lencioni. And it's called The Five Temptations of a CEO. And he writes about these temptations that a CEO is naturally going to have to battle and fight if he or she is going to lead an effective organization or company. And what he does is he comes and he lets you know the reason why it's going to be easy for you to give into this temptation. And once you understand the reason why behind the temptation and you're able to lift that up, it gives you and I insight to be able to directly confront it in a successful way. And here's what he says. He says, a great CEO is not necessarily made because of their intelligence. It's because of their discipline of being able to say no to these temptations. And so it is with you, and so it is with me in life. It's your ability and it's my ability to be able to handle the temptations of life so that we can experience the life that God has for you and me. And here's the good news. Jesus lifts the curtain on what's behind every temptation. Do you realize that every temptation that you and I face, it really comes in the form of three ways? That no matter what you are being tempted with, there's an underlining truth there that's always the same. And we see it here in the life of Jesus when he was tempted. And so in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin though in chapter 3, and we'll go to 4. But in Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus, he's being baptized. And I want to read this and just kind of walk us through this, all right? Here's what it says. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And so here's what we have. We have Jesus, okay? This is before he enters into his ministry, his public ministry. He's being baptized, and he sees the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And here's what it goes on to say. And a voice from heaven said, of course, this was God the Father, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Those are heavy words. Those are words that every son and every daughter longs to hear. This is my son, whom I love, and I'm well pleased. This is my daughter, whom I love, and I am well pleased. And then it jumps into chapter 4, but it continues this thought. Then Jesus, right after that, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Wow. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would say that we would all say that's pretty obvious, right? I mean, if you're going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, you're going to be pretty hungry. And yet what we have to understand here is that Jesus was tempted. That's why Jesus can say, and we're going to learn today, that Jesus is tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to hear those whispers. And God loved Jesus, and yet Jesus was tempted. And so Jesus understands your temptation. He understands my temptations. And so when you are tempted and I am tempted, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It's just part of life. And Jesus was tempted in three different ways. And yet it's the thread through every temptation that you and I battle. And so he goes on with this. He says, the tempter came to him. The tempter came to him. Now, here's what we need to understand. Satan came to Jesus, and he began to whisper to him. And here's what you need to understand about temptation. Temptation never comes when we are strong. It comes when we are weak and vulnerable. Jesus, in the wilderness, no food for 40 days and 40 nights. And scripture says this, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, it's interesting. He says, if you are the Son of God. What's he doing? He's chipping away at Jesus' confidence in who he is and who God is. If. Trying to create what? He's trying to create doubt. And here is Jesus. He has a legitimate need. He's hungry. And he says, I don't really believe that you are the Son of God. And if you are the Son of God, then you should just speak to these stones. And you should turn them into bread. You know why? Because you're hungry. And why are you hungry? Doesn't God care about you? Doesn't God see your need? And see, here's the first level of temptation. And it is this. It's to provide for yourself. It's to provide for yourself. The whisper will be to you and me, go ahead and provide for yourself. You deserve it. You need it. You want it. You desire it. And so here's what we need to understand. The background of this temptation is this. Meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Was Jesus' need legitimate? Absolutely. He was hungry. I mean, we all have legitimate needs in our life. We all have legitimate needs in our life. And yet the temptation is to go ahead and provide for ourselves because God isn't moving as fast as what we'd like for him to move. And so what happens is we get caught up in providing for ourselves. And we all face temptations to meet legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. We're all tempted to turn away from God, saying that, you know what, God? I can handle this. I'm tired of waiting on you. I can provide for myself in ways that make sense for us and are good for us, and yet causes us to drift from God. You see, all of us here today, we're created to enjoy personal and intimate relationships with others. We all hunger for close relationships. But when we try to meet this need on our own, it can lead to unhealthy relationships, which can wreck families and friendships and lives. And what happens is we can start placing more faith and more power in our own ability than God's provision. And we end up moving further and further and further away from God because we're meeting a legitimate need. We're just meeting it in an illegitimate way. And so how did Jesus handle this temptation? Here was his response. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Wow. Jesus was saying, you know what? I'm not going to do anything until God speaks. I'm not going to move until God tells me to move. And so let me ask us a question here today. What legitimate need are you trying to meet today in an illegitimate way? What are you trying to provide for yourself? Here's the good news. God understands. He's the one that has created you and I with needs and desires. And maybe today you have a legitimate need. You know, maybe it's sexually. Maybe it's financially. They're all legitimate needs. God gave us sex to be enjoyed and to be celebrated. God provides wealth and riches out of his abundance. God wants you and I to prosper. He wants you and I to succeed. He wants you and I to do well. These are all legitimate needs. But when we are tempted to meet them in our way and outside of God's boundary and outside of God's will, then what happens is we don't realize what's at stake. And it's our future. It's our family. It's our faith. And so Jesus said, it is written. So what does he say to you and me today? Well, he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he says. So don't worry about these things, saying what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Dwight, you don't have to provide for yourself. God already knows every need that you have. And so Jesus goes on to say this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Wow. Unbelievable. So the first thing that you and I need to know is that we're all tempted. We hear this whisper, provide for yourself. Provide for yourself. Don't wait for God. Do your own thing. And yet Jesus would say, you know what, seek God first, and he'll take care of all of your needs, and it won't wreck your future, your family, or your faith. Matthew continues this about the temptation of Jesus. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. What did I say about temptation? It leans on the doorbell. Okay? He just comes back over and over again. Check this out. If, there you go again, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What's this temptation? This temptation is to prove yourself. To prove yourself. Now, here's what you need to get. Satan is deceptive. You know what he did with Jesus? He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture. And he tied it to part of the reason why Jesus came. And that was to be able to show everybody that he was God. And he says, if you're the Son of God, well, then do this. And guess what? Then the angels will come and swoop you up. Just go ahead, prove yourself right now, Jesus, who you are. And the thread that runs in this temptation is this: leverage God for your own end or for your own benefit. You say, what do you mean, Dwight? We become presumptuous and assume on God. We want to prove ourselves of who we really are. So you know what? What happens is we take Scripture. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Listen, you can only do that which God is calling you to do. And God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. He'll only supply that which he has called you and I to do. And so how you and I can presume upon God is that we can do things that God's not asking us to do, because we want to prove to everybody that we're somebody. And so we can do something at work, and we can go after things at work that, you know what, God's not even asking you to do, but you're wanting to prove to everybody who you are. Or, you know what, you can buy that big old house and get yourself in financial hock to try to prove to everybody that you've made it. And then pray that God will bail you out. And then get mad and angry when he doesn't. Or you know what? You can marry that young man and say, you know what? Yeah, he doesn't know Jesus, but he's a good guy. I'll pray for him. And then you get into that marriage, and you know what? He doesn't want anything to do with spiritual things. And what you were trying to do is leverage God for your own end or your own benefit. And that's exactly what Satan was doing with Jesus. And yet, here's how Jesus answered him. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Wow. Don't test God. Don't presume upon God. Don't assume God's going to bail you out. Now, does he? Yeah, he has. Me many times. But the temptation is for me to try to prove myself to other people and do things that God's not even asking me to do. And I'm putting him to the test. Okay, God, I'm quoting this scripture, but I didn't give you that scripture, Dwight. I didn't ask you to go there. I didn't ask you to buy that. I didn't ask you to apply for that. Then we get angry and mad at God. We say that he doesn't deliver. But the fact of the matter is we gave into the temptation to prove ourselves. And Jesus gives you and I another way. Here's what he says to the disciples, because the disciples had this problem too. And they wanted to be great. They wanted to prove to themselves and to one another that they were the greatest. And here's what Jesus said to them. But among you, it is quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader, anyone wanting to be great among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, if you want to be the greatest of all, if you really want to prove yourself, then serve like a slave. Your attitude must be like mine, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve. I didn't come to prove myself. I came to serve. I humbled myself as a servant and to give my life as a ransom for many. What's the key here? The key here for you and me is to cooperate with God. What does it mean to cooperate with God? It doesn't mean to negotiate with God. What do we say with one another? Mom and Dad won't cooperate with me. They won't negotiate with me. No, cooperation with God is to surrender to God and to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to choose your path, not my path. I'm going to choose your will, not my will. Peter learned this. This was a message to Peter. And here's what Peter ends up writing, because he ends up saying, you know what? It's not going to do me any good to try to prove who I am. And so Peter writes these incredible words: humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Dwight, don't try to prove yourself. Just humble yourself before God. Because if you prove yourself, you'll try to manipulate me, and you'll try to control me, and you'll presume upon me. What I want you to do is have confidence that I know what I'm doing, and that at the proper time, I will lift you up if you will but have confidence in me. You see, confidence and temptation. We have to have confidence in God. And then Matthew gives us this last temptation, and here's what he says. Again, the devil took him. Temptation leans on the doorbell. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, check this out. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Wow. What's this temptation? It's to please yourself. It's to please yourself. It's to do the right thing in the wrong way. It's to take shortcuts of what God wants for you and me. You see, the fact of the matter is the kingdoms of the world was going to be Jesus. It was all his. He just didn't have it yet. And Satan was saying, you know what? I'll get you there quicker and faster if you'll just bow before me. And here's what we need to understand. Listen, and this is the way that temptations work. He wasn't asking Jesus for a life of devotion. He wasn't asking Jesus for a life of commitment. He was asking Jesus just for a moment. And that's what he does to you. It's what he does to me. Dwight, I'm not asking to serve me the rest of your life. I'm just asking for a moment. And if I don't realize what's at stake, I'll jump at it. And it'll wreck my future and my family and my faith in Jesus Christ. But it's always there. It's always leaning against the door bell in my life. Go ahead, Dwight. Just go ahead. You know that this is what God wants. So why don't you just take shortcuts there? And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. Away from me. Get away from me. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Wow. Serve him only. Don't have moments over here and moments over there and moments there, but serve him only. And so Jesus comes back and he gives us the key to how to be able to respond today. And it's with this. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Jesus said, you know what? I got a way that you can fulfill this need in your life without it jeopardizing your future, your family, and your faith. And that is hunger after me. And if you'll hunger after me, guess what? I will satisfy you. And just as Jesus said 2,000 years ago, it is written. Jesus has given you and I truths that have been written that we can come back and counter every single temptation. And so let me ask you this question today. What's leaning against your doorbell? Is it to provide for yourself, meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way? Is it to prove yourself, to kind of leverage God and presume upon God so that everybody will think that you're somebody that you're really not? Or is it to please yourself, to get ahead of God, and to be able to cut the corners? And to be able to say, oh, what's it going to matter just this one time? It could matter your future, could matter your family, could matter your faith. The psalmist puts it like this, and this is where our confidence has to lie. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. See, I don't have to give in to temptation. You know why? Because my heavenly Father says, Dwight, I'm not going to withhold any good thing from you. In my way and in my timing, I will give you everything you long for, everything you desire. But are you going to take matters in your hands? Are you going to lose confidence in me and give into that whisper? I go back to this. Here's what Jesus heard before he even entered the temptation. This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. We all need to hear that today. You're his son, and he loves you, and he's well pleased with you, and he will meet every need in your life. You're his daughter, whom he loves, and he's well pleased with you, and he will meet every need in your life. And what God wants to do for you and I who know Jesus Christ, he wants you and I to see ourselves as sons and daughters so that we can shatter the temptation to provide for ourselves, to prove ourselves, and to please ourselves. And maybe today you're not a son or a daughter of God. And you know what? You found out that you're wrecking your future, your family. God wants to help you with that. And God wants to lead you with that. Would you pray with me? God, today we thank you that you are a God who leads and guides and provides. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who has modeled for us how to do life and how to do it well. And how to live life, and how to live life to the fullest. And God, I pray for myself first and foremost that when I hear these whispers, I will not underestimate what's at stake. That really what's at stake is my future, my family, and my faith. And that I will not lose confidence in you, that I will know for sure that you're a good God and you will not withhold any good thing from me. And that if I will trust you, you will come through in a way that won't wreck my life, it won't wreck my future, it won't wreck my family, but that it'll be a blessing and not a curse. And I pray for that for every person here today. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.